Thank you for tuning in to I'm Not Okay podcast. This is Stormy.
I'm Elena.
And this is a show about music and stuff.
Music and stuff. A little more specifically, we've got Benji from Not a Toy on today to talk about their self-titled debut EP. Actually, we just played you in with their song J-Cash. I should probably mention that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really fun interview, and you'll hear it a little bit later in the podcast.
First, I feel like I need to thank you for coming to my rescue on Instagram.
Listen, here's the thing. I have a problem with people who don't know how reporting and also things work in general.
Learn the way of the world, people.
So it was an article about how Travis Scott has like teamed up with McDonald's and his merch is really weird.
Really weird.
Yeah. First of all, I understand that that's not typically what you would think of when you think of alt press, just because, you know, he's not necessarily like normal alt music or whatever, but that's fucking weird that a musician teamed up with McDonald's.
Yeah.
Even if it's not straight up alternative, it's interesting enough to be written about in any place. I don't care. It's weird and it's interesting, and I don't understand why people are so mad about it. And you know that none of the people that commented on that saying, this is an alternative. You know, every single one of those people did not click it or even bother to try to read the article at all. Because if they did, they would have seen that it was actually pretty interesting and very weird. And okay, I get it. You don't want weird rappers in your fucking magazine. It's not your magazine.
Well, it's a website, not a magazine, but yeah.
You know what?
Sentiment still holds.
It's whatever. They wouldn't, yeah, and that's the thing. They wouldn't put that in the magazine. Like, that's not something that would make the magazine. But it's interesting enough that you can write an article about it on the website.
Regardless, like, even past news articles and things like that, it just shocks me how many people are willing to stop their day to comment things that are so non-constructive and negative. Like,
yeah.
Like, anywhere. I see it all over Facebook all the time. I'm so bad about scrolling through comment sections, and it's really bad for me. But I'm like, why? Why did you stop doing what you were doing? Or even, hell, even if you were just scrolling like I am, why would you take 15 seconds out of your day to just be mean? It doesn't make sense.
Makes no sense. And also, Okay, I will mention one of the comments because this one was actually very funny and it had nothing to do with the article not being alternative or whatever. It just said, can I get a Travi patty? And it made me laugh really hard. I was like, this one's actually funny. I like that one. Anyway, it makes me mad when people stop to comment about that kind of stuff when you aren't even, okay. In the music scene, at least somebody is writing something for the publication that you enjoy. Why does it matter? If you don't want to read it, don't read it.
Right.
I'm salty about it because, like, most of those people, it's like, who are you? Who are you?
Do we have to bring back Don't Be a Dick Corner?
Yes, Don't Be a Dick.
Do you want me to find a post? I'll find a post.
No, we can... not right now. I don't think I can handle it after reading those comments earlier. I was like, it just made me really salty because I was just like, I don't understand the point of it. It's like they saw that one article that wasn't about alternative music and they commented, this is an alternative. Like, yeah, but have you seen literally anything else on this Instagram profile? Most of it is. This is one thing out of a gajillion things that they chose to write about because it's fucking weird and interesting.
And I'd argue, like, there's a lot of things across a lot of publications that get a little murky.
Yeah, they aren't necessarily exactly what they usually cover, but it's just weird enough to be valuable information. or entertaining to read. Not everything has to be strictly on genre. And genre's not even real anymore, fight me. God, it's not real. Who cares?
Everything's alternative.
Everything's alternative. Whatever. If I like it, it's alternative. I don't give a shit.
Right? Billie Eilish, alternative.
Just because it's mainstream alt doesn't mean it's not alt.
Hey, Panic at the Disco is alternative, and, you know, Brendan's up there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But my point is, genre isn't real. It's all mixed together. Anything can be anything. I don't know why we still have to have this conversation. It's 2020. Chill out. There are so many things wrong with the world right now. That is not one of them. Okay. I should we've been talking about this for
We're just going to link to the article in the show notes and people can continue learning there.
It's so dumb.
Are you out of breath?
No.
Still got it, huh?
Yeah, I could rant for a long time.
Yeah, we've discovered.
Yeah, I mean, that's just who I am as a person.
You want to know what makes me really fucking upset today?
What?
The Academy we're supposed to reunite this year.
What?
Yeah. Evidently, they were going to do a 15-year anniversary tour for almost a year. And obviously, they weren't able to do it. And I didn't know that was going to happen, but yeah.
That's kind of sad.
A little bummed out. That could have been our next show to go to together.
Well,
it's fine.
Maybe they'll do it later.
16 years isn't the same as 15.
Okay, you know what? Who cares? 2020 doesn't count.
All right, do you want to talk about what we're listening to this week?
Yeah. I'm literally only listening to AJR and Benchmarks. Like, that's it. I did listen to the new Of Monsters and Men song, and I really liked it.
Fit right into that rotation, huh?
Yeah, I take it back. I've also been listening to the new Neck Deep album. Because I needed it.
Did you hear the Movements EP?
No, I need to check that out.
I don't know if it's really classified as an EP. It's just three singles that got released together. But
whatever.
It's really good.
I need to check it out. I didn't do anything with new music. My Spotify is being weird and not showing me the right things.
So yeah, mine is too. It's acting the fuck up.
It's making me mad.
Which reminded me, actually, last week I wanted to talk about Social Order's new single, Dreams, which is, I don't know if I've talked about them on here, have I? Mm-hmm. It's Mason Musso's new band.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released a new single last week that I just completely forgot to touch on because it didn't pop up into my release radar, which it really should have because I followed them.
Yeah, release radar is doing me wrong.
Right, which sucks because I always just glance at it before we come on here. And I'm like, right, that, and that.
I literally, that's my thing. I'll just turn it on Friday and then I'm just listening to that. But then like,
yeah,
because that's the only way I know how to see everything that's coming out. But it's not showing me everything.
It's pretty fucked. I can start sending you things if you want.
Well, I just need to start asking Whitney again. She usually knows the answers.
Yeah, she's good about that. Oh, Whitney, our behind the scenes. I don't know, what should we call her? Behind the scenes queen?
Sure. Behind the scenes queen.
I like that. It's got a ring to it. Yeah, we were just talking about her on an interview that we got to, what's the word?
We were interviewed?
Yeah, we were interviewed. Table turned.
Now the turntables have turned.
But we had talked about how she's our behind-the-scenes queen, and I feel like we should probably just shout her out on here as well, because without Whitney, we would not get done half the things that we get done.
No. We wouldn't have got some of the bands that we have had on.
Probably none of them. What were we talking about? New music? Marilyn Manson album.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing. There were, like, seven people that were like, wow, did they really run out of content? I'll tell you something, Marilyn Manson dropped a new album.
Yeah, which
we know. Just because this isn't about that doesn't mean we don't know that it happened. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I listened to that all the way through last week or over the weekend. When did I listen to that? I don't know what day it is anymore. But
it's Monday. I'm sleepy.
I was concerned about this album just based off of the singles, but I don't know. When you start from the beginning, go all the way through the end, which I don't do frequently. We talked about that this week. But I dedicated myself to it because my editor-in-chief told me that I had to listen to it that way. Not like an instruction. She just told me that it would be most enjoyable if I did it that way.
That's okay. I'm going to tell you right now, that is how you're supposed to listen to all albums, Elena.
I know.
They put them that way for a reason.
I know. And that's why, like, when AFI and Black Audio release their albums, I lay in bed without anything to distract me. And I just listen to it all the way through. But when I'm going out and about and enjoying my daily life, I like to shuffle things to keep it.
Okay. Fresh. When you are listening to an album for the first time, I need you to promise me this. Do not shuffle it.
No, I'm not. That's not what I do. Okay.
Okay. I was going to have a panic attack.
No,
it's thinking just about you shuffling an album for the first time you listen to it. What a monster you would be.
No. Ian does that and it drives me crazy.
What is wrong with him? He's broken, Elena.
My thing is, I just change my pace up so many times that I'll listen to like a song or two and then I gotta bounce onto something else.
See,
I talk about this during the interview. I'm not gonna keep going over it.
I just can't listen to a new album like that. It has to be from
start. It depends on how excited for it I am.
Nope, it has to be from start to finish or I won't listen to it. If I have to pause in the middle, I'm not gonna listen to it right now.
Fair. When Those Without or Benchmarks or Medina Lake sent us their stuff to preview, I listened to that all the way through.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You should do that always.
No, because I don't always want to listen to the full album.
Okay, but then you miss the experience of the full album. You miss the experience entirely. Okay, so Benchmarks, right?
Right.
Theirs is a solid album, and there's callbacks throughout the whole album to the rest of the album. So if you don't listen to it all the way through, you might miss it. Because I missed it the first time I listened to it, and I listened to it the right way. So you would definitely miss it. But you did that one right. I know you did that one right. I'm aware. We talked about it. I just, like, okay, because Mariana Trench does that too. So if you don't listen to it like front to back, you're gonna miss out on something awesome.
Are you saying I gotta take Adderall anytime I listen to a new album?
No, I mean, I'm not saying that entirely.
Just heavily hinting at it.
I don't know. I guess my brain just like can't process that's just not how you would listen to an album for the first time. Just because how I've always been.
It just depends, again, like on how excited I am to listen to it. When the Killers released their new album, I listened to it all the way through. I also have to have a context where I'm able to do that. Like, typically I have to be like cleaning or commuting to even fathom that. Otherwise, I just don't get enough time during the day to.
Well, and that makes sense. It's just like, because I just that's my thing, I guess, is when I'm listening to a new album, I don't start it unless I can finish it in the same sitting. I just won't.
Oh, yeah. See, no, I just don't work that way.
I just won't start it.
I tend to just not have time to, like, do things in one sitting, though.
Well, that's why sometimes I won't listen to a new album for a few days because I have to find time to sit down, like, actually just not sit still necessarily, but like stay in one place so I can listen to it and like
absorb it.
You know, yeah, I want to hear it front to back.
No, it makes sense. And don't get me wrong. Like, I appreciate it when I do and when I can. Like, again, we get so far into this when I'm talking to Benji because it was a huge deal that I was able to like listen to this EP from a band that otherwise has put nothing out. Like, I'm not familiar with them. And I just listened all the way through.
Yeah.
That's incredible for me. Like, no, I thoroughly enjoy the experience of doing that. It's just that I've got to, in order to keep myself from getting distracted, I literally have to lay down, remove myself from everything, and then just, like, dedicate half an hour, 45 minutes to that listening experience.
Okay. So, see, because I can like listen to it and like do other stuff at the same time and still.
I can, like I said, I can clean or I can drive, but even then I end up daydreaming. So.
All right, fair enough.
It just depends. Anyway, do you want to talk to Benji?
Yeah, let's talk to Benji.
Let's continue this conversation over there.
Yeah.
Cool. You've been bugging, you've been on my nerves, now I'm sick of you. Don't you talk back to your mama, but I simply do.
Lately I've been feeling so anxious. People, I'm what I got, like, yeah, I made this. You don't see the picture now because you're famous. Venom in my throat is spit dangerous. And now we blowing up, you can't explain this.
So we're here with Benji from Not a Toy. Can you just give us a little brief overview of how the band got going? You guys, under this moniker at least, really just debuted. So what happened with that project there?
You know, like we've been together for a long time. We've actually been chopping up since 2011. We were running under a band called Shatterproof for some time, and we were more of like the Warped Tour scene, kind of aggressive rock, you know, a little more like the Used, and so we were just doing DIY tours, just trying to get signed, trying to do something with our music, and we started to see followings and. And so we just kept growing and writing music together. It showed some promise. And so we just continued to do it. And then, we got signed to Revival Recordings, which is out of North Carolina, a small label, the lead singer of Alisana, which is one of the old school Fearless bands. He has a label. And so he signed us and then we up labeled from him to Fearless. Super quick answer, you know, for a lot of time, but yeah, you know, we met in high school ultimately, you know, and just kind of got together because we were like, this is fun, this is what we want to do. It didn't really become serious until I feel like 2017 when we were like, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're trying to, you know, we're really trying to like make something happen here. But yeah, you know, we were just a bunch of kids fucking around, honestly. Oh, can we cuss?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
For sure.
Yeah, we are sailors. So,
it's bad. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh no.
Feel free.
Okay. Good stuff. I don't know if that answers your question or if you want me to go deeper on that, but you know, ultimately we were just all in Fort Collins, Colorado. And, you know, we all met through various outlets, mostly high school and all that kind of stuff. So, and then, yeah, just came together because we were like, we fuck with each other. This is tight. And people had a response. It was really once we started winning Battle of the Bands. Like, we kept winning Battle of the Bands contests. And we were like, maybe we got something here. Maybe we should keep going with this. And so we kept riding that. And I think we lucked out with getting Fearless's attention. It was definitely a dream come true on that one, you know.
I just want to diverge for a second. What kind of Warped Tour experiences did you guys have?
Like,
anything crazy?
Sweaty?
Yeah.
I personally, in 2015, had one of the greatest experiences where I idolized Mike Fuentes from Pierce the Veil. I mean, like, I would watch his YouTube videos and see how he was drumming and just, like, was, like, baffled at how he would play and his performance and everything. So I listened to every Pierce the Veil song. All I could hear was drums, like, the whole time. And in 2015, I was so dead set because we did the Ernie Ball Battle of the Bands to play there. And we had played in 2013 and 14 as well. We had, like, done well enough in the contest to play. And then in 2015, I was like, we're getting these passes. I'm getting backstage and I'm going to smoke a blunt with Mike Fuentes. I'm going to do it. And there was this barbecue afterwards. And I just saw him chilling. I just went up to him and I was like, bro, you're not going to let me smoke this by myself, are you? And he's like, spark it up. And so then I hung out with him. I was like, now he has to talk to me for at least 15 minutes while we smoke this. Like, at least time with the guy, because it's always kind of awkward trying to meet somebody who you admire, you know, and without being like too much a fan, or you know, I just wanted to chat and chum it up with him, and that was the best way to do it. So that was definitely my best Warped Tour experience. you know, but I mean, playing there, it's hot, it's sweaty. You're out there all day, you know, playing the Ernie Ball stage. As a drummer, you got to play the same kit as everybody else. And depending on if you play it earlier in the day or later in the day, I mean, if you're later in the day, that kit looks like it was trampled. I mean, seriously, like, it looks like an elephant was playing on that fucking thing. Like, it's just destroyed. And we were in the middle of the day, so I kind of lucked out. I got it right in the middle of its destruction. But yeah, smoking it up with Mikey Fuentes was definitely one of the better experiences I feel like I had at Warped.
That just seems like such a life hack into making friends.
It low-key is. Like, I'm giving away my secret right now, but like, when we would open for a band, like we played with Night Riots. I don't know if you like, but yeah. we played with them and I was like, all right, I would always roll blunts beforehand or like bring weed. And I just like kind of casually like position myself like outside by the band and be like, hey, do you smoke? Oh yeah, here, how, you know? And then I just like smoke them out and then we'd end up chatting. And then I would like, you know, weed is a networking tool, I promise you.
So you're from Colorado, huh?
Well, originally born in Los Angeles, but I do live in Colorado.
Gotcha.
I'm like an extremely high functioning stoner, you know, I'm not like the, I don't know, you know, there's all kinds of people who smoke weed, but I'm definitely one of the high functioning ones, you know?
Yeah. So how did your experiences change once you guys signed on to Fearless? Was that a noticeable shift or?
That's a good question. I mean, we signed with them and immediately went into the studio and then, you know, we kind of didn't have our shit together. Like, we were trying to figure out, we were going to change the name from Shatterproof to Not a Toy, but we didn't know that we were going to name it Not a Toy yet. And so we were trying to come up with the name. We were slotted to go on tour with Set It Off for their Midnight album release tour in February of 2019. And we just didn't have our shit together. You know, the music wasn't done. Our name wasn't selected. We didn't have our branding. And we were like, let's do this right. Let's make sure we're doing a whole rebrand of sound and look and everything. Gotta have our chips in order. The difference, like signing to Fearless, I mean, we didn't do anything in 2019 and then we released in COVID. So to be completely honest with you, I don't know. Like, it, you know, I feel like every band's dream is to get signed to a label like Fearless or Epitaph or Hopeless or, you know, and get to that next level. And then the thing that you're looking for is those tours and, you know, becoming friends with those bands who you've looked up to and listened to and been inspired by. And unfortunately, we haven't had that yet. And so I kind of feel like we haven't been able to really feel like we've been signed yet. Like, we've put the music out and, you know, the team at Fearless is literally the best. They have such talented people on like their digital team. And it like amazes me. Like, when we changed it over to Not a Toy and they were like, oh, we'll just talk to Instagram and get you the handle you want and talk to Twitter. I'm like, holy shit, you know, the power.
That's amazing. Where did Not a Toy come from? Can I ask that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I think there's a deeper meaning and then there's also a very literal meaning. The literal meaning was I had tasked myself with the quest of naming the band and we had so many names tossed around. But one night I was just walking through my apartment and I saw this like transparent bag and it said, this bag is not a toy. Well, it was backwards. It was see-through and it said Yachtaton. And I was like, Yachtaton. I was like, what the fuck is Yachtaton? But I saw like the three letters, one letter, three letters. And I was like, okay, it's like sequence. It looks good. And then I flipped it over and it said, not a toy. And I was like, not a toy, not a toy, not a toy, not a toy. Hey, that kind of flows. That works. Like, you know, this band, we're not a toy. Hey, we're not a toy. You know, you have to run it through all the scenarios of how you'd say it to somebody. What's your band's name? We're not a toy. But I feel like, you know, originally we were Shatterproof, which ultimately then had this meaning of like, you know, very literally we're Shatterproof, you know, kind of an empowering name. And then Not a Toy, I feel like kind of lined up unintentionally kind of with that, you know, as like a spinoff. And it's like, you know, we're not a toy, like, don't play with me, you know. kind of also like a self-respective, you know, knowing yourself and knowing what you are and what you deserve, you know? So I feel like that's kind of like the meaning behind that.
But even in a way where you like, it doesn't come off like you guys take yourselves too seriously. Like it works.
It doesn't come off that.
No. I think it's a little cheeky.
I mean, we don't. We're a bunch of goofy dudes.
I'm getting that sense from you.
We're a bunch of goofy dudes, but we do, you know, love like what we do, and I think we have like taste for the finer things in life, and we try to constantly, you know, express like what we're trying to do with our music. And you know, I know I'm wearing a tank top right now, but I'm in, you know, but like we're trying to, you know, like with our fashion and what we're doing, and you know, kind of like I feel like the product will speak for itself, you know, but we are a bunch of goofy fuckers, like no doubt about it.
So I want to talk about the EP for a minute, and I haven't actually introduced it yet. You've released your debut self-titled EP a month ago today, so that's going to give us some interesting perspective here. What sort of influences did you derive from?
Initially on the EP, I feel like, you know, and we had been writing a lot of that music since like the end of 2017. I mean, that music was like a long time in the works. So influences changed throughout. I feel like Kanye West, oddly enough as it is, I feel like with production and how we try to approach the writing process has been an overarching influence. And then what's interesting about our band is we all have very individual tastes in music. And so what Jeremy, our guitarist, brings to the table, you know, his influences are, you know, I mean, he listens to, oddly enough, a ton of like trap music and like really fat rap beats. And so he's looking for, you know, interesting ways to incorporate that. And he's honestly a genius with beats, and him and I work really well together, like orchestrating those. And then Branson, our vocalist, loves like Childish Gambino and Anderson .Paak and, you know, a lot of hip hop, R&B, but also takes influence from, you know, like Lana Del Rey. And then TJ is all over the map. I can't really name what he listens to. He listens to probably the most bizarre shit in the band, you know. He's the member whose head is just like in the clouds, and he's just adding that crazy shit on top that's like always necessary and we're always grateful for, you know. But when he has the aux cord, I'm like, what the fuck are we listening to, bro?
There's always someone.
Always.
So as far as the EP goes, I want to say, not going to lie, I listened to it through and through for the first time today.
Okay.
And it's fucking wonderful. Like, wow. I can't often, when I'm driving, just, like, start on one song and listen all the way through. My head's constantly like, oh, this reminded me of that. I need to, like, listen to that now. And, you know, jumping around. So usually it takes me a little while to work through an EP all the way through. But when I sat down to do it today, like, it came so easily. So I guess I just want to know, how did the thought process go down in that you were able to make a series of 7 songs that were all very gripping in their own right, but then cohesive with each other? How did you achieve that?
It was kind of serendipitous, honestly. I mean, what's funny is we wrote at least 6 other songs that didn't make the EP. And you know, I think ultimately those were just the best songs out of the bunch. And I think, kind of embarrassingly, we hoped that it would work. And it's so good to hear you say that. Thank you for your compliments on that. And I, for the first time, because I had always just had it in like WAV files on my phone, and I would like click through them and not ever listen to them in order. But when it finally came out, I listened to it in order, and I was even kind of like, you know what? That's pretty cohesive. I was like kind of shocked, honestly. And to be honest, kind of dumb luck on that one. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm just glad it worked, because, you know, we, like I said, we had other songs that were going to be on there and probably would have shaken it up. But I think ultimately it came down to those were the best songs that we had written that we were passionate about. And so those are the ones that made the cut. And then we kind of just working with our A&R over at Fearless, you know, put them in order. And we were like, maybe this one, and we changed them around a couple times. And then we were like, no, this is the best flow. We always knew that Drive Slow was going to be the last track. Like, that was always going to be the last track. It
only makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that song. That one kind of came together there in when we were recording it in Portland, but we had this verse and we were like, there's so much good energy and good vibe in this verse. Like, let's try and write a chorus. And we tried to write a chorus and the chorus just like never came together. It felt contrived every time. And then it was TJ who made that entire instrumental at the end. And it's like even his vocals, TJ's our synth and violin player. But yeah, he made the entire outro one morning, and I was just like, oh my god, this is incredible. But honestly, it was dumb luck that it flowed together so well. I'm so glad that you liked it. Thank you. It's exciting.
I mean, you say dumb luck, but you've also said that you all have been writing music and playing together for what, like 9 years now? So I feel like part of that has to be like just an innate understanding of your groove as a band, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we get more efficient and better at working together and how to like see songs and flow. And, you know, I feel like maybe lining up the songs on the album was kind of like when we would build a set for a live show and, you know, taking people on that journey of bringing them in slow and then bringing it up and then carrying them up and then bringing them down a little bit and bringing them back up and then ultimately letting them off. So, yeah, probably us just, you know, being together as long as we have been together help make that process a little more efficient.
Yeah, for sure. So has the EP changed at all from what you initially conceptualized it to be when you first sat down, you know, decided that you were going to write a series of songs? How did you feel like that was going to turn out at the moment?
I mean, we were like, we had an identity crisis when we were writing this music, to be completely honest with you. Like, we thought we were going to be kind of like Bring Me the Horizon, like half rock, half vibe or production and rock. And the songs that we tried to make that way weren't written that well. And then the songs that we just like sat down, like Jay Cash is a prime example of a song that we sat down and we were just like, let's write whatever the fuck we want to write. And we just like had this energy in the room at that time and we just went with it and we just flowed with it and we just let it go. And we were like, we don't know what we're making right now, but we're making something. So let's just keep making this. And I mean, you know, to be completely honest, I love the music. I don't know if it's the album today that I would release to best represent what we're doing. I don't know if that's just like the artist dilemma of always feeling like you're on to the next best thing. I feel like that's definitely a component. But, you know, it's, I feel like the music for us was like, we put so much into it and it was like, it literally took 2 years of like start to finish of releasing. So we're like, we just gotta fucking put it out, let the people know, and then we can grow from there. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, absolutely. Totally did. How would you change it?
Wow. Good question.
Not that I think it needs changing, because I don't, but you said you don't feel like it's necessarily representative of your direction.
Good. No, that's good. I got an answer for you. I think this EP, we were chasing sound. I think we were, I think we didn't know what we sounded like, and so we were chasing sounds that we thought were relevant and prominent. And so it was like, oh, let's make a song that sounds like this. We'll make a song that sounds like that. And so if I could change it, I would take ourselves out of that mental box that we kind of had and kind of more like we did with Jay Cash and just be like, let's find things that other people haven't found. Let's be pioneers. Let's explore more. Let's not be as perfect with things. Let's not have a chorus after the verse. Let's do something else. I think everybody in the band would agree with that as far as, you know, I think it's very polished, and I think we wanted some, if we could change it, we would add a little bit more human touch on it and add a little bit more, yeah, I think human touch involves error and just kind of almost like perfect mistakes. And I think that's more what we would want in our music. And that's what's to come. I mean, that's the shit that we're working on right now. It's a lot more, you know, I think a little bit more out there and a less thinking of like, we have to write a hit. No, you can't have this after the verse or the chorus, because that's not how radio works, or that's not how this works. So I think we would maybe remove those things and write for solely ourselves and not anybody else with any other expectations on us.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Because I feel like every single track was raw to begin with, but I mean, obviously you've got a better perspective on that than I do. I'd be curious what you come up with when you're just unleashed. Yeah. But I don't know why that rose a new question for me, which is probably going to be really, really aggravating for you. But what genre would you characterize yourselves as?
I mean, the thing that I say, like, at, like, you know, to, like, anybody, you know, what genre? Alternative pop rock? Maybe?
I don't know.
You know, because there's pop in there. It's alternative. There's some rock tendencies, but it's really vibey. You know, it's really vibey. I think there's a lot of, I feel like the neighborhood, not that we're like trying to be like them or anything. I love the neighborhood. It's my favorite band. But I feel like I don't know what you'd classify it as. I just feel like it's like alternative vibe, but I don't know if vibe is a category of music.
We can make it one. I'm sure. There's like all sorts of subgenres just spouting up everywhere.
100%, you know, but I feel like
down right now.
Yeah. That's probably what I'd say it as. If someone were to listen to the EP, it's definitely alternative, but there's a lot of vibe on there, you know?
I mean, you said you like Pierce the Veil. They made their own genre in like 2007. They're Mexicore, yeah.
No doubt.
So why can't you make your own?
No, you know, it's funny. And so we used to be a lot more violin forward. I love that. We used to be a lot more violin forward, and we called ourselves Violin Core. And that was our own core. But we weren't hard enough to be core. We didn't have breakdowns.
Well, you guys can be Toy Core.
Toy Core?
Works, I think.
We're not so, Toy Core.
That sounds actually kind of like sounds like Toy Car.
Oh, yeah.
Which I like.
Oh, that is not where my brain went. Okay, I'm done talking for now.
Stormy, this podcast is rated G.
Yeah, okay. How many fucks have we said this episode so far?
The fact that I'm talking about smoking blunts and saying
it's the new G. It's the 2020 G.
Who's on your shirt? Is that Thor?
Yeah. Thank you for noticing, because my boyfriend walked past me like 10 times. He's seen the shirt a million times before, but he's like, who is that?
That's a big flex right there. That's a big flex. I love it.
It's one of my favorite shirts. Anyway, this is audio. Nobody knows what we're talking about. So I know that you said that you've been working on the EP for like 2 years now. So COVID probably didn't affect your timeline as far as like the production went. But what kind of challenges did you face as far as actually getting the EP out there and, you know, doing things on the finalization end?
The hurdle was going to the studio and not having our songs finished. We put a lot of weight on our producer to like help us finish the songs. And he basically was like, get your shit together, finish your songs. It's not my fucking job. Which he was right. It wasn't his fucking job. And so that was our first hurdle. And then the second hurdle was, once we got out of the studio, the songs were not done. Like, they were completed where you could listen front to back and be like, the song's done. It was like a shell of a song. Like, it needed the tasty layers. It needed the depth. So then we had to add the depth, and that took us like 3 months. And in that time, you know, you're throwing things at songs, and like, is this, at a certain point, you're like, is this making it better? Is the song actually getting better because we just added this new synth sound in there? Like, you can add lead lines for literally a lifetime. There's infinite fucking, you know, ways to arrange notes and melodies in a song in the same key and like make it work. And so at a certain point, we were just like, all right, we just have to fucking call it good and step away and just be like, this is done. This song is done, you know? So that was a big hurdle. And then the last hurdle was honestly, you know, getting it to get out through the label. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to talk any shit whatsoever, but like, I don't know how much of a priority we were at the time. And so, you know, it was me on the phone a lot, frustrated, like trying to like, let's move things. And there was a lot of not moving. That was frustrating for me. And I look like I'm ignorant. Like I'd never been signed to a label. I don't know how that shit works, you know? So I'll be the first to admit, you know, there were a couple conversations with our A&R where he's like, you don't know how to do my job. And I was like, you're fucking right. I don't know how to do your job. But I'm frustrated. I don't know what you want from me, man.
I mean, and it's understandable, especially given the climate where it kind of seems like nothing's getting done anyway.
Yeah.
Like there's only a handful of people putting music out.
This was before COVID. This was all 2000.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. When COVID first hit, you know, like I got a call and I thought we were getting fucking dropped. And I got a call. And he goes, I got bad news. And I was like, of course you do. What's up? You know, because COVID was like really wrecking the world right now at this time. Right. Like, it was like late February, early March. And he's like, we're gonna push all developing bands till fall. And so your release is probably not gonna be until fall. And at this point, I had been trying to push for so long, like the most of 2019, I'd been pushing for like 8 months. And I was like, you know what? Music's going to come out when the music comes out. Universe is going to do what it's going to do. It's going to happen when it happens. Like, I just got to trust in the process. And I was like, man, we kind of expected that with the world literally going on halt. I guess that's it. You know, like, whatever. Like, it's going to happen when it happens. And then I got a call 5 days later where he's like, we're announcing you guys in 3 weeks. And I was like, shit, let's go, bro.
World needs something.
Yeah, and that's when they did the Fearless Live and announced us. It was crazy. But yeah, there was honestly, yo, it was the hardest fucking thing I've ever overcome in my life. Like, you know, being so passionate about being in a band and making it your life for so many years and then you have this 2 year period where, and it's egotistical, but like to the outside world, you're doing nothing. Like nobody sees what's happening, you know, because we live in such like a media based time and like, you know, you're able to post your tours and post what you're doing and post this. And people are constantly giving you these affirmations of like, yo, you're doing it. You know, oh, you're in Chicago. You're doing your touring. You're doing, you know, you're fucking out there. You're in the band. You're making it happen. That's so sick. It's like, yeah, it's so sick. We couldn't say, tell anybody we got signed to a good label. We couldn't post any teasers. We were changing our name. We couldn't do anything. So we're totally cut off. And it took fucking forever. And it was like, it was super difficult. But I found it was only at the point when I completely relinquished my control over the situation that then the situation picked up. It's like, that's just like how it works, I guess.
Gotta stop fighting it. I can't imagine though. I feel like I would just be like telling everybody and being like, I mean, you didn't hear it from me, but this is what's going on with me.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's gotta be tough.
It was, you know, it was just hard. Like once you relinquish it, then it happens, you know? And we were trying to push for a long time and then COVID hit and we were like, oh, that's it. And then we finally released and it was fucking legit. You know, it was good. It was super exciting.
And that's perfect. Cause I want to talk to you about how the reception's been after having it out for a month. Like, was that what you were anticipating? Did people react differently? What's going on there?
I mean, everybody's been telling us like, yo, you have to take into consideration that your numbers are what they are because every band, like they always do it where like you're touring, like you announce, you release your album, you tour, and that always boosts the numbers no matter what. It fuels the engine. And we haven't been able to do that. I think ultimately I'm kind of like, I was like, yeah, this is what I expected. Like people fuck with it. It's good. They like the music. I like the music. They're having a good response. I feel proud to show people. And like, it's getting good playlisting. Like Antidote just got Saint the other day in a like release playlist on Apple, and it's getting good traction on there. So I'm stoked. I've always looked at this music as like, it's going to do exactly what it needs to do in order to get us to the next point where we can release the music that we're like really, really wanting to like put out there. You know, not that this is music isn't what we wanted to put out, but just like it's a stepping stone. And I don't know if that's how like a lot of artists look at it. And like maybe when we're at that next step, we're like, now this step's going to get us to the next point where we can release this. I mean, we'll probably be in that state of mind then, but yeah, I think the people have given us a good response, and I'm stoked on it.
Well, and I kind of wonder if that state of mind is just like when you were writing that, you were there, and that's what you wanted to be writing, but now you've kind of moved on a little bit, and so it seems like a stepping stone, but it's more like just natural progression and evolution, almost.
That's like literally what it was.
It does not read as a debut EP to me, having, you know, seen a lot of bands go through these progressions and everything. It's just so fucking good. Like, I mean, and that's not to say that like a lot of bands don't put out good EPs to start with, but I'm shocked by your perspective on that. And not that that's like wrong or anything. Like, I think it's really neat that you guys have already sort of evolved, sort of past it, so to speak, but it's just a really good, coherent piece to begin with. I think you guys need to be, like, super proud.
Thank you so much. No, I appreciate you saying that, and I feel like I've heard that from a couple of people who are really close to me, and it's one of those things where, like, I try to reminisce in the now of it. It's kind of difficult. It's a challenge, you know, to do that. But I'm so glad that that's your perception of it. That's very reassuring.
Yeah, like I said, I don't often listen to things front to back, but that was like, it was impossible to stop.
I want to, for the record, Elena never listens to things front to back. I'm like, hey, did you listen to this? We need to go listen to this new album. And she's like, yeah, I listened to part of it, but then I got distracted and I listened to something else. I'll go back to it later. I'm like, just listen to it. It's an hour long. Just listen to it.
Which isn't to say, like, I don't like what I'm hearing. It's
so funny to me.
Well, fuck yeah, Elena. Thank you. That's good. I'm glad it was to hold your attention. We live in a very quick society, so I'm glad that you were able to listen through the whole thing and enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
No, thank so, you.
I'm going to take things a little more general now. Because I like to have our guests talk about their local music scenes just a little bit, because we are ultimately a podcast that tries to uplift, you know, underground artists and everything. So what can you tell me about, like, obviously barring COVID circumstances and venue closures and stuff like that, but just, like, where your favorite venues are and, like, who your favorite rising artists might be?
Oh, definitely. So favorite venues, I mean, I think in Denver, the Summit Music Hall was definitely my favorite. And then, the Marquee was, I mean, we played the Marquee, which is like this pizza spot. It's a classic. It's the shit. And then in Fort Collins, I feel like the spot that we absolutely just fucking played till the death was Hody's Half Note. And it's sad to see go, because COVID took Hody's out and it's closed its doors. But, you know, I loved that venue. That was a lot of good memories there. And then I feel kind of shitty on the second half of this question, because up and coming artists, I feel like I've been slacking on, to be completely honest. I mean, okay, there is one. This is a band called Gleamer, also from Colorado. They went on tour with Movements. They're fucking incredible. Super good vibe. Everyone should check them out. I've never actually personally met any of the members, but they're fucking amazing. And then, I'm like so drawing a blank, and I feel like this is my one moment to like shout out my people at home. All right, sorry. Local band. Here we go. I got one. Our boys in Seattle, Avoid. These guys are one of the best fucking hardcore bands I've ever heard. They are going to literally be the next big thing. I'm so excited for them. They had a song just premiere on Octane, like the XM Octane. Avoid from Seattle. These guys, we went on a tour with them. We've never fucking bonded with a group of dudes so quickly. Like, it was like we came up together from when we were in diapers. And we met on the first day, we formed a fraternity. On the second day, we gave ourselves fraternity names. I mean, I've never been on a tour of brothers like this before. And, like, I mean, we toured with them one time. This was in 2017. And, like, I'm seriously, like, best friends with the guitarist. I hit them up all the time. They'll just face, like, Benny, their singer, will just FaceTime me randomly. It's like friendship for life. Like, Avoid from Seattle, those guys, best tour. I mean, they're going to seriously fucking blow up. Like, they're so good. You should check them out if you guys
like the hardcore. I'm going to follow them as soon as we get off.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, they're seriously so good. I feel like they're the next, like, Architects or something. It's just a matter of time. Like, when tours come around, they're going to land a big tour. They're going to fucking blow up.
That might have been, like, the most wholesome shout out we've had on here.
I love them so much. They're such the boys. I can't help it.
Oh, I love it. Perfect. All right, Benji, I've got one zany question for you before we hop off, unless Stormy has anything to touch on that I haven't.
No.
All right.
No?
I know.
I think we already technically talked weird tour stories, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Okay. So, yeah, that's usually my only question.
Fair enough.
Weird tour stories. I like weird tour stories. It's like a thing for me. I don't know what I get out of it, but they make me very happy.
I will start writing that into my outline.
Well, like, bands are, we're like already such like weird dudes. And when you get the right, combination of a weird group of dudes with another weird group of dudes and they jive with the weirdness, like, anything can fucking happen. You got a couple wild cards pairing up that are just fueling each other, and it gets fucking crazy. You never know. I mean, I stole a street sign. We ran through a hotel naked. I mean, it was crazy.
Okay, final question. So we're going to soundtrack a zombie movie with one of your songs. Which one would you want it to be?
Ooh. Probably Demise. I got nothing. That's it. No. I don't know. I feel like Demise is kind of like the most cinematic song. And, you know, it could be kind of dramatic. And, like, people could be running from zombies. And, you know, like, it could just be, like, bumping in the background. And it's like, you know, maybe, like, a loved one gets snagged. And they, like, keep running on. They keep going. The music's just kind of fueling the mode, you know?
I love that visual.
Yeah, I feel like Demise, also the name Demise, it's kind of like, you know, dark zombies, people dying, a lot of death around, you know, you're scared, you're getting bit, you're gonna die, you know, all that kind of crazy shit. I mean, or J-Cash, because J-Cash is just kind of rambunctious and just kind of like fuck you in your face. So maybe J-Cash, but it depends on the zombie movie.
What I was going to say. What kind of zombie movie is this? Is it more like a Zombieland comedy movie, or is it like a serious zombie movie? Because that's a big question.
If it's Zombieland, it's J-Cash.
Yeah.
If it's like 28 Days Later, it's Demise. Yeah. That's it.
See, there you go.
Okay.
Now let me just expand on this a little bit further.
Please.
What artist, living or dead, would you choose to be your zombie buddy?
My Zom buddy?
Yeah.
I was just talking about him today. I would love to get to fucking know John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. I'd love to get to know him. That guy was such a pioneer in drumming and such a crazy motherfucker in real life. Like, I would just love to, like, chum it up with him and smoke a cigarette and drink a bottle of whiskey and, like, see what happens. Maybe burn a hotel room or something, you know, just see how it goes.
Shoot some zombies.
Absolutely love to get to know that guy.
All right, I like that answer. So before we let you go, can you just shout out your socials real quick for us so that our listeners know where to find you?
Definitely. It's pretty easy. It's just @notatoy on Instagram and @notatoy on Twitter. We don't have too much of a YouTube presence yet, but we're getting there. So follow us on Instagram. I feel like that's definitely where we're the most active. I'm posting on the stories there, talking to the people, seeing what's good, letting them know what's good as well. We have a website, notatoyofficial.com, and we've got stickers up. We're working on our merchandise right now. That should be coming out this fall/winter. Very excited for that. We're putting a lot of effort into the clothing. It's not just going to be band merch. This is going to be like lifestyle pieces. You're going to feel good. You're going to look great. Very excited for the clothes. And, you know, we're looking to release some more music before the year is out. So we got a lot coming. It's just starting. This is just the fucking beginning.
You've got some killer music videos out, too. I forgot to mention.
Yeah, shout out to Ori McGinnis for putting together all of our visualizers. That guy is an absolute savage. And I'll shout out Sean Boyd, who came through with all of the plugs. I mean, you know, we shot Quit Quitting during COVID, and he pulled through and called all the warehouses and got us gear for killer deals. That guy really did a good favor for us. So shout out Sean Boyd on that one. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
No, thank you for joining us and taking time out of your vacation and everything. It was a blast.
It was so fun.
Good. It was a good time. Anytime. Yeah.
All right. You have a great rest of your night, okay? And the rest of your trip as well.
You ladies, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.
You too.
Bye. And now they always ask you, how do you do what you do? How do you do what you do? I simply do.
She's a very pretty wyvern.
Excuse me?
She's a very pretty wyvern.
I just love that I always know that we're coming off a break because you've put on like some weird accent.
I think you do that on purpose. You wait for me to say something weird.
Right, because then I can just cut it in.
Yeah, and
when you said something
with
weird.
With no context as to what we're talking about.
I still don't know what you were talking about.
Oh, Ark's still pulled up because I had an egg that was hatching. So I didn't want the dragon to die.
Gotcha. I just want to let everybody know that you didn't give me context to that.
No. I just said I'm staring at a wyvern.
Yeah.
Because I was.
What they heard was what I heard.
Mm-hmm. No Nothing. Context.
Nothing prior.
No, I've been playing Ark before, but I forgot how much time I had, so I dropped this egg, and I had to let it hatch and be here when it hatched, because otherwise I couldn't claim it, and it would die.
Oof.
It's pretty harsh.
Impressive.
It's a harsh, yeah. It's a harsh game.
No kidding.
We got raided on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
I was busy getting intoxicated at my cousin's house. And then Jason came to pick me up after the raid. And I got on trying to fight people while I was intoxicated. And it was not...
Yeah, why not?
Not pretty. I did die several times, but not because I was actually fighting people. It was just because I was not good at it.
Right, right.
Anyway,
that would just be me playing in general, so whatever. I've gotten started on Animal Crossing again. It turns out I'm bad at that, so...
How are you bad at Animal Crossing? I'm convinced you can't be bad at Animal Crossing.
My issue is the terraforming.
Oh, I don't even do that.
And how... Well...
That's hard. I don't do that. People are doing that.
I'm a perfectionist, and, like, it won't let me do the things that I want it to let me do, and, like... That bothers me.
I don't do that. I just leave stuff how it is. My island is not gorgeous like everyone else's.
See, what I wanted to do was create a giant hill in the middle of my town that people have to climb up to get to my house. So I'm going to be that eerie house on the top of the hill.
I did that too. I moved my house to the very back of the island, like on the high cliff.
I created another hill. Like a three-tier cliff on the front of the island.
But then you can't see behind it.
It's all man-made. Yes, the camera pans when you go behind it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it works. I'm bad at it, though. It's taken me all day.
Yeah, I don't have the patience.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then my cousin just got the Switch for the first time like a couple weeks ago, and he got Animal Crossing. And since we played together growing up, I was like, all right, well, obviously I got to go to his island and check it out and, you know, see what's up. And he's a civil engineer. So he's gone like all out with it, and it looks fantastic even after playing for like a week or two. So now I just feel like I've got to step up my game to impress him when he comes over. Because we're 25-year-old adults.
Yeah, you're never too old to game.
It's Animal Crossing, though.
Game on. It doesn't matter.
No, you're right. You're right.
Gaming is gaming, dude. Unless it's sports gaming. That's different. And I will stand by that. I've never been yelled at more times than by the people that wanted Madden very badly.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I love Madden, though. I'm not going to lie.
Like, no, I'm not saying the sports games are not fun. But the fact that people were shouting over a football game.
The fact that people shout at all is horrendous.
Was insane.
I feel like yelling should really be reserved to, like, life or death situations, right?
Or excitement, but right. never over a football game.
No.
Not a football video game. You can yell at a regular football game. Don't yell about a football video game. Unnecessary.
God, we are really expanding our scope of coverage today.
Yes, we can. That's my life now, so.
Right.
I'm now video games, music, and comics, and that's just who I am, and that's all I can think about.
Well, if you want more video games, music, and comics, you can follow us on our social media. I think we'll probably only be posting about one out of the three. But
yeah, one. You can look at mine for other stuff if you really want to. But you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at I'm Not Okay Pod. You can find us on Facebook at I'm Not Okay Podcast, and you can email us at imnotokaypod@gmail.com.
And as always, if you enjoyed the episode today, please be a doll and rate and subscribe for us.
Rate and prescribe.
Rate and prescribe.
And also tell your friends.
Yes, please tell your friends.
Word of mouth really helps us out. And also, if you think we're fun to listen to, maybe your friends will. Who knows?
They might. They might not.
Or they might hate us. It's fine.
Yeah, maybe you'll lose a friendship over that.
You can't have any Travi Patties if you hate us, though. So,
is that like, is that in the fine print?
Yeah, no Travi Patties if you hate us.
I didn't realize you negotiated that with McDonald's.
I did, yeah. They won't let you buy one.
It's the one question you gotta answer. You know how they do, how they quiz you up at the...
Do you like Stormy and Elena? No? Okay, no Travi Patty for you. All right. But you can find me at Slubby Thomas on Instagram and TikTok. And also you can find me at Slummy_Thomas on Twitter. I put Twitter in there because I have posted on it recently, just because I can't post actual status updates anywhere else besides
fair.
Twitter, because I deleted my Facebook.
I'm Brashbat on Instagram. It's the best place to find me. I don't know how to use Twitter.
And she says she's not good at TikTok, but her TikToks are glorious.
I'm not on there anymore.
Did you just delete it?
I mean, I uninstalled the app. I guess people can find the 3 videos I put up.
I don't
know what my username was, though.
I can't believe you don't have an addiction. I have a problem.
It's not my kind of content.
Because you have not found the content that is meant for you. Everyone has TikTok content, I promise you.
Yeah, but I don't like the short form video format.
I think that if you found the right demographic that fits you, you probably would like it more. It's the content that you're seeing on your For You page that you don't like, and it hasn't been tailored to you yet. You have to be on the app for a while before it gets to the proper...
Maybe, but like, it's just not the way that I absorb content.
How is it not the way you absorb content when you literally can't listen to an album all the way through if you're not focused on it?
Because I can't focus enough on sitting there and scrolling. Like, I don't know. It's just not something that I do. I just forget about it.
I don't know. I don't know how.
I also don't like, I don't know. I just don't.
You're on like 2 different ends of the, I don't understand how your brain works, to be honest.
Okay, so I'm not like a big visual person, I think is part of it. Okay. Most of what I do is, like, I listen to things. So even when I watch TV, usually I'm doing something else and I'm just listening to the storyline going on in the back. There's very few shows that I can sit down and, like, actually keep my eyes on.
See, I'm the total opposite.
Yeah, no, I'm not a visual person. Like, podcasts are something I can pay attention to because I can go about and, like, do things with my hands and
Well, I think whatever. We also have, like, I don't remember what it's called, but, like, some kind of auditory processing situation going on.
Auditory processing disorder? Yeah, I've got one too. Believe it or not.
And so if I'm not, like, reading something, sometimes I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like, I have subtitles on. Like, I never noticed that that was happening until, like, because Jason has subtitles on the TV, like, all the time.
Yeah, we do too.
And I never noticed that that was a thing until I started watching TV with subtitles a lot. And I was like, oh, I can actually understand what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm like not missing stuff.
I do have the same problem, which is going to make this, like, so much more confusing for you as far as
my Yeah, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
I tend not to pay good attention to things, and that's why I usually watch shows, like, 2 or 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Or why, like, I'll listen to a whole podcast and sometimes, like, not even know what was discussed during it. But what I found helps is if I have something, like, auditory on, and then I just, like, do something absentmindedly, like painting. That helps me pay attention.
Yeah, I do that too, but mostly with, like, cartoons and stuff. If I'm, like, watching, like, a drama, I usually can watch it. Shows that I really, really like. So, like, NCIS, I've seen it a million times, could still just pay attention to it the entire time.
And I found a few shows like that this year since we've been doing the whole Netflix thing a lot more. Let me shout out Glitch real quick, because we just started that last night and I've watched, like, 6 episodes already. That's one that I've been able to, like, actually watch and be absorbed in.
Well, and there are some shows that I can't watch when I'm doing something else. Like, The Witcher was one of them, where I couldn't watch anything else. I had to just watch The Witcher.
See, I watched The Witcher when I was at the gym.
How did you?
The only way that I got through it while watching the whole thing.
How did you understand what was happening? Like, I could not, there's no way that I could have focused enough to, like, understand where the flashbacks were happening and where they weren't. And, like, there's no
Honestly,
way.
I don't think I did.
So you still just don't understand what happened in The Witcher at all?
I genuinely do, because, like, Ian's huge into, like, the books and the games and all that.
Yeah.
I played the games. Like, generally, I've got a pretty good idea about it.
It's just so funny because it took me a minute to, like, I watched part of it with Jason and I had to go back and restart it because I was like, I don't understand. I'm legitimately lost. And so I went back and just restarted it and watched it again.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just how it is in general. I think if you don't know about the time hops, it's really easy to get confused. But once you know about them, they're a lot easier.
Well, and, like, yeah, when you can see which characters are there when, that helps.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that I missed out any more than anybody else did.
I don't know. And I think I needed to watch it, like, pay focus.
God, now we're talking about shows.
Yeah, we should.
We signed off ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So playing us out today is Out of Time with their new single, and I'm just going to let them tell you about it.
Hey, this is James.
And Justin from Out of Time. This is a sneak peek of our newest single, Husky Fight.
Out October 2nd.
On all streaming platforms.
Follow us on social media at Out of Time FL.
Hope you enjoy.